Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Chiellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. It's National Siblings Day. Who's your favorite team of siblings is the X platform question of the day. Braves, Mets tonight at 7:20. Ford leadoff show at 6:05. The Braves clubhouse report is coming your way with K-Mac at 2 o'clock. And all season, when the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires for you to perhaps race. That's the basis of this song. The next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you'll get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals are at Tire Discounters. Learn more at TireDiscounters.com.
That's really good.
/Braves. We'll talk to Nota Begay in about 15 minutes or so from now as his teammate at Stanford Tiger looks to make the cut for a record time at the Masters. Nota Begay from NBC. In the meantime, Dan Hurley, when he took the job at UConn in 2018, walked into Jim Calhoun's office, who celebrated with him the other night. Jim Calhoun, of course, won multiple national titles at UConn as well. So anyway, goes back and walks into his office and says, this is BS. Nothing is in place here. This is UConn. Where's the infrastructure? What's been going on here? Calhoun said, are you blanking me? Maybe you're not the person we should have hired. Sound like Carl Hanratty, Tom Hanks from Catch Me If You Can. If I ever come in here like this again, if you ever bust in my door, I'll never talk to you again. He said he ripped them.
I don't know what
set him straight.
I don't know what Dan Hurley, like, where was his interview?
Then he said, how'd you pass the bar, Dan? How'd you pass the bar exam in Louisiana?
Sorry. Again, you're mixing up things. Was Dan Hurley, did he not go there for an interview? Did he just do it on the phone? What did he think he was walking into?
I mean, I would imagine he toured the facility there and stores and saw everything there was to see prior to him taking the job, right?
Yeah, there was a trophy case. It had four national titles in it. Maybe there wasn't more. Here's the thing. Calhoun is basically telling you, you know what you need? You need a couple of rims. I need a couple of rims 10 feet high. Go win basketball games. And that's what he did. I'm going to go back to what I said. Dan Hurley, I don't believe he'll take the Kentucky job. I don't. But Kentucky is bigger. And at a certain point, if you want to play the bigger room, you play the bigger room. You're the king of stores. You're the king of college basketball. You've won six titles, and you have to keep telling everybody you're the bluest bloods of the bluest bloods because you've won six titles, and nobody else has done that in the same amount of time. So that's what you get. You get friendly waves at the farmer's market. Hey, coach, love you. Kentucky's a bigger room. They pulled John Calipari in when they won their first title. It was, again, conquering hero. The only thing missing was confetti. It was like somebody came down from outer space. Hey, it's John Glenn. Let's have a parade. That's what you get at Kentucky. Now, you get the other stuff. You get the, it's not going very well, coach. Hey, coach, why are we doing this? But if you want to play the bigger room and find out if your stuff works, why is Dan Hurley not mentioned as an NBA guy? He's worked NIL better than anybody.
I like the comparison that you brought up earlier. Someone else mentioned it. You said on social media. Yeah. They're the college basketball version of the San Antonio Spurs. You forget what a dynasty they were.
No doubt.
Until you're reminded.
Yeah, because it's San Antonio and because it's stores. That's what you are. Nobody can take away what you did. People just don't, Okay, who else is winning? Oh, the Lakers playing? Boston playing? Kentucky playing? That's what it is. So I'm not telling you he's taking it. I'm not telling you. Would you call Dan Hurley to be an NBA coach?
I mean, he worked
NIL better than anybody.
I would definitely have a conversation. Anybody that wins titles, it merits a conversation with them, if for nothing else, to pick their brain.
How about a guy who says, in the land of, I have to kiss their ass because they're always threatening a transfer. I work them harder. They're getting paid. They have a responsibility. Okay, I'd call and ask.
And here is Dan Hurley on his mindset now at UConn.
I mean, UConn right now, our mindset, literally, once we got on that team bus, I think I turned around and said, like, where's the East Regional next year? First two rounds are in Providence. And then the Sweet 16, Elite Eight are in Newark, New Jersey, you know, where I lived and worked for 9 years. And then the Final Four is in San Antonio. So, yeah, I mean, your mindset, we're going to enjoy this, you know, for a couple of days, Pat, but, like, it's going to fade quickly. And then you're going to get back to work and you're going to put a roster together that, you know, can hopefully go for a dynasty.
And he's going to lose a couple of more pieces. He lost a bunch of them last year. Then he said, oh, when we recruit, I look at, have you been to four high schools? Maybe you're not for us. Maybe you're for somebody, but you're not for us. How about your parents? How much involvement? In a good way. Oh, that's good. That's good for us. Oh, your parents seem to be talking a little bit too much. Not for us. He's laying out the plan. And again, you can tell me he walked on the court the other day. He did. He pushed one of his own players to start a play like he was in practice. I've never seen anything like that. Kid Spencer's got the ball, and Dan Hurley walks onto the floor and pushes him to get him moving because the shot clock is ticking down. You can't do that. Of course, that's a technical. But I just think, again, this guy gets into another place during a game. Like, I mean, you used to see spots. I think Dan Hurley, he gets in a gym, he sees a clock and a score, and I think it's
yeah, the mindset changes.
There.
And at one point, what, they're up 17, and he's going crazy. They're up 17. The game's pretty much over.
He's trying to
but
get
that's
him,
not how he's wired. That's not how any great coach is
he's
wired.
He's trying to get him ready for next year's Final Four at San Antonio. I mean, that's the crazy part. I believe him.
There is no time to celebrate at all.
Matt Painter, very quickly, I did not know this. I saw a different angle. Andrew Hurley gets in the game, and his father is telling him, dribble it out. We're going to take a shot clock violation. We're going to take a shot. Don't do anything. Dribble it out here. You're in the game. Matt Painter is telling Danny Hurley, let them run a play. It's the NCAA Final Four. I know we're down 15. Let them run a play. This is something they're going to remember. That's phenomenal. That is a phenomenal move by a coach, understanding that to do this, dribble in a basketball, you're in the game. But wouldn't you like to run a play in the Final Four?
Because that's a story. Now, being in the game is a story you're going to tell forever, but actually running a play and maybe scoring a basket in the national championship
having
game
an assist.
When your team won the national title is an even better story, needless to say,
that's
to tell.
That's a great move by Painter. It's a great move by Painter at that moment.
In the meantime, Coach Cal, Arkansas made the announcement. They formalized things earlier today. This is what Coach Cal had to say yesterday.
This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here. But we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program.
It's time for us to step away. We made this decision. That's what he's saying right there. We were proactive.
His attorney is saying that they never tried to get Kentucky to match. There's a guy on social media, a journalist, who said, yeah, they went and, you know, Mitch Barnhart basically said, yeah, we're not going to do that. I don't know what, I don't care. Go coach at Arkansas and see if you can win. See if you can be better in a tournament. I understand your part. The only thing, again, Adam, because you didn't cut the thing the right way. What he did say,
you and go Dawgs.
What he did say right after that is, and don't forget, the garage sale starts 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Bring your cash. Bring your cash.
My dog is walking me.
That he did say the other day, walking with his dog, Paul, with the stroller. Pushing the stroller, walking his dog. So he's off to Arkansas.
Was anybody else like me where I was judging his house? And I was judging the phone he was using to record that.
Which I'm very surprised, because usually you don't do things like that.
No, well, here, you know why? Because it was the pandemic. When I saw a guy put books behind him, he took his one local Emmy and he put it behind him. I witnessed all of this stuff. Oh, I'll put my kids' drawings back there. People will like me better. Cal was just sitting in the house, but I'm looking at the house going, eh.
The video
quality.
A
little bit goppy.
Yeah.
A little bit goppy.
Well, of course. The video quality wasn't all that great. That's why you referenced a flip phone.
Yeah. You got to get a better phone deal at Arkansas. I hope that's included.
Yeah. At Kentucky, in the meantime, Scott Drew is apparently now the favorite to fill the position. There's talk that he has a strong relationship with Mitch Barnhart. Billy Donovan, as he was getting ready for his Bulls game yesterday, the Bulls lost to the Knicks prior to the game, said, this is my priority, staying here. Jay Wright said no the other day the championship game coverage. I know that you want him to take the job, but most likely he's not going to take the job.
Most likely he won't.
So they're left now with a Billy Gillespie type of situation. At least they hope that's not the case, but it could be the case. That's, I guess, what I'm saying.
Be careful if you
hire. And now Scott Drew.
When I hear they're close, that's good. Be careful if you, are you hiring a friend? Are you hiring a friend? And by the way, he's been in a Final Four. I'm not discounting whether he could do it or not and probably come cheaper than some of these other guys. I don't want to have the fourth choice go to the press conference where I have to lie. But I'm sorry. Jay Wright would be number one. Dan Hurley would be number two. I'd imagine Billy Donovan would be three. Somebody brought up Richard Pitino. I thought they hated each other. Like, I thought all of these people hated each other. That's not a thing, is it? Richard Pitino?
Richie?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Rick's son?
Now people are just spitting out names, right? What's his like? Is he related to the Pitino that used to be there?
Let me tell you something. If any Pitino is going to coach Kentucky, it ain't going to be Richie. It's going to be Rick. There's no way Rick's going to let Richie take that job. If that job's open and they want a Pitino, Richie, you can be my assistant. All right, Dad, I'll be your assistant.
Jeez, these are stupid sounding people. Doesn't even sound like they put their pants on correctly. Do you think? I think Rick Pitino's answer might be, I'll coach both St. John's and Kentucky.
I'm going to do something that's never been done before. I'm going to coach two teams simultaneously. And what happens if we take on each other in the championship? I'm Italian. Whatever team's winning, I'll coach them.
That's a real story in history, folks. Just as I like to say, we've always ended up at the right side of the table. Once the bullets are still flying, we go, who's winning? We'll go over there.
The 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls.
Yes, I have.
The experts then, Joe, from AquaGuard can help you with a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net. Can Tiger make history this weekend? Noda Begay from NBC joins us to talk some Masters when we come back. It's Cellini, it's Domino, it's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. You got the Braves Clubhouse Report coming up at 2 o'clock. Braves, Mets, game 3 of the 4-game set is tonight at 7:20. Ellen Winans, Jose Quintana, board leadoff show coming your way at 6:05. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solutions. It's National Siblings Day. Who's your favorite team of siblings? The Van Halen brothers. Do yourself a favor. If you have some time.
Uh-huh.
If you're a Van Halen fan, even if you're not. Because Bill Hader kind of brought this back. Because he does an outstanding impersonation of this interview with Eddie and Alex sitting there. Remember in 1996 when David Lee Roth appeared with the rest of Van Halen on the stage at the VMAs and he made a fool of himself.
Right, because it was a, we're all back and watch me not be able to help myself.
Right, and then Eddie told the story with Alex sitting next to him, and Alex would just kind of weigh in here and there. And at times it looked like he would aggravate Eddie because he would cut Eddie off a couple of times. Bill Hader redid the whole interview. It's outstanding.
And I wish I had time to check that out.
Make time, because if you're a rock and roll fan,
right.
I think you'll enjoy it. Okay. Eddie's got a cigarette in his hand. He's just talking about the whole deal, and Alex is just kind of weighing in and there.
If you have the time.
If you have the time. Right now we have time. We're going to make time, if we didn't, to talk to this man who joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line to talk some golf with the Masters beginning tomorrow from NBC. Noda Begay joining us on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Noda, always nice to have you on the program. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you guys. Excited about getting this tournament going.
And I'm sure you've been asked and you've talked about it during the week, and you'll be asked by us and again later on in the week about your teammate from Stanford and Tiger Woods. I mean, you were honest about it. He was honest about it yesterday. I mean, the lower back is going to bother him. Things are just going to bother him. Everything he said aside from his ankle.
Exactly. I mean, I had a chance to visit with him just after the surgery. Sort of later in the fall, Charlie Woods qualified for a national junior golf tournament that I host in Louisiana. And so Tiger comes down and caddies for him and was walking when he was caddying. And so I had a lot of time to just walk with him and ask him questions and just kind of catch up more so as a friend and sort of, you know, he's certainly like a brother to me. We've known each other for nearly 40 years now. But also, you know, I am a member of the media, so to speak. And so just trying to just get a sense of where he was at that point. And he just talked about, you know, the lack of mobility now that the ankle is fused and just sort of, he wasn't 100% sure where the stress was going to go. If it was going to go into his knee, his hip or his low back. And, we found out at Genesis that it was, moving into the low back, which he's been addressing now since that last start in LA a couple months ago. So, you know, only time will tell. I mean, the weather prediction isn't great, but, you know, if he can get through the 72 holes, from what I've seen, he's still very much capable of hitting the golf shots.
So mentally, he can get himself there even through what the physical problems might be, you believe, if he gets to Saturday.
Yes, but I mean, I'll look at it this way. Let's assume that, you know, from where he's at, he starts Thursday's round at 100%. Mm-hmm. I think by the time, you know, if he were to get to Sunday's round, you know, he would break the all-time cut streak, which would be great. But if he were to get to Sunday, he might be operating at, you know, 70, 80% of his max, just because the walking on that particular golf course, you know, takes a toll. But if anybody can overcome physical challenges, you know, with mental strength, it's Tiger Woods. You know, he did win the U.S. Open on a broken leg in 2008.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be too dramatic, but the one thing that works against him is he looks unbelievable. He looks fantastic. This is like saying, well, I heard it's internal bleeding. Nobody sees it. So it's hard to understand or fathom what the hell he's feeling at this point in his life.
Right. And like I said, the training and the preparation and everything that he has in place, he's ready for this golf tournament. And I think the most interesting thing, or one of the most, I guess, biggest factors that we keep an eye on is just, you know, how does he recover from round one to round two to round three, so on and so forth, is that the recovery time in between rounds is critical in terms of icing, stretching, any, you know, whether it's acupuncture or dry, any of those different things that athletes use to sort of recover in between competitive events.
Nota Begay from NBC with us talking some Masters with him as he joins us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. You talked about your closer relationship with Tiger. It seems like now, and maybe it's safe to say and assume, he's in a better place mentally than he's ever been before.
I think he is. And you know, all of us at some point have dealt with chronic pain or an injury or come out of a surgery or something. It's just not fun. I mean, your outlook on the day is tarnished because you feel like crap. I mean, whether it's your back, your ankle, your knee, your shoulder, whatever it is, it's just not fun to be in constant pain. And so I think that Tiger's really done a nice job of managing the situation these last couple months and sort of figuring out what those challenges were going to be for him physically. And he looks and is, you know, swinging great. Freddie Couples talked about the fact that he's hitting it great. Like what we've seen in the broadcast and I've seen just personally on the range. It looks all in place. So now it's just a matter of, okay, once, you know, he does walk those first 18 holes, what's he look like coming out in round two?
All right. We'll talk about the rest, but I have one more that's sort of about him. Have you ever spoken to him about Charlie Woods' last name, playing the same game, making a cut as a young kid, and all of those things that are going to follow him because of the last name and the expectations, maybe?
Well, I don't really talk to him about Charlie Woods per se. We both talk about our sons. We both have boys that are the same, basically the same age, and we talk about just the challenges mm-hmm. of parenting and how much they really don't like to listen to anything that we have to say.
Yeah, I have a soon-to-be 15-year-old. I understand that completely, Nolan.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. We were talking at the PGA a couple years ago at Southern Hills. We were on the back of the range. It was Wednesday afternoon, so kind of a time to relax. A lot of players find that a relaxing period, sort of the calm before the storm. And we were joking that, you know, Charlie was just really getting into golf. Charlie really picked up golf during COVID and wanted to go out to the course a lot more and really start to focus on improving. And I was standing next to Tiger on the back of the range, and I said, hey, you know, how much does Charlie ask you for advice? He goes, well, I give it, but he won't listen to me at all. So I just keep trying, but it's incredible that, you know, he just wants to do his own thing. And, you know, you and I as parents of teenagers kind of know that drill.
Yeah. Just try to stay out of the way and try to keep things as calm as possible. Nota Begay with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. As we know, first timers, Augusta isn't really kind to them. Are there one or two names as first-timers that you think could or at least have the possibility of surprising?
Well, there's a interesting scenario. I think two of them. The first of which, if Scottie Scheffler goes out and plays to the level that he's been playing at for the last 2 months, he's going to win. If for some reason he doesn't, so if for some reason, I think he's slated to tee off around 10:42, and that's when the weather's supposed to set in. So, like, if for some reason there's something that happens to Scotty and he sort of stumbles out of the gates, I think it really opens things up to a first-timer. And you got to look at, you know, Ludvig Åberg and Wyndham Clark. I mean, you got two first-time starters that are both ranked in the top 10 in the world. I mean, so it's a chance for someone like that to come in and sort of contend at a place that is just historically really unkind to first-time starters.
So are you saying you'd take Scheffler over the field? If the conditions warrant it, right now, today, you take Scheffler, you wouldn't take the field?
If I knew it was going to be better weather, I would. Mm-hmm. Everything that he's done, he's first in any major scoring category the last three seasons. He's first. Scoring average, birdies made, wins, anything that you want to be number one at, he's number one at. And that's with a average putter. So, like, he doesn't even need to putt great to contend and be in the mix. He had an awful week in Houston and nearly had a chance to win. So he's just right now set himself apart from the rest of the golfing world.
So I read the story last night that he said his wife is, I think, 1 to 3 weeks away from a delivery date that he would leave. We then, because we're idiots during a break, we were trying to figure out, okay, what does leave mean? Does leave mean I leave Saturday after the round, I fly home, then I fly back on Sunday because I'm in, I don't know, what group, the second, third, maybe the first, the last group to tee off? What do you think leave means? What would you, can I ask you what you would do? You're two shots back. You're in third place. Saturday's round is about to end. The phone rings, not on the course. It's Augusta. But the phone rings and somebody tells you, are you flying back home and then coming back Sunday, do you think?
Let me say, tell you what I think Scottie would do.
Okay.
I think Scottie leaves and goes home to be with his family. You know, Bay, I don't know if you saw the clip of his interview in the press room yesterday and just talked about the importance of his faith, his devotion to God, and just how important his family is to him. So I don't think Scotty views golf as the end-all, be-all of his life. I think he has more. He looks at other things that have equal value to him, although he's the best player in the world right now. So I would bet that he would leave and just not come back and watch the final round without him on television.
Three guys in this room said we'd leave and come back. I'm just going to let you know, if you want to know who the hell you're dealing with right here, we all said I can afford the private plane. I'm coming back on Sunday.
Yeah, it would be. It's logistically pretty easy when you have your own plane. But like I said, I think he would, you know, a lot, you know, we've all, you've been there when your first kid's being born. It's a few days of just commitment to getting to know that person.
Is that what makes Scottie Scheffler? I mean, obviously he's talented, but from a mental standpoint, it's not the end all be all. Is that what maybe makes him such a complete golfer?
Absolutely. I think he looks at it as something that he's very good at. I don't know that he came into the golfing world as a young player going, wow, I'm going to be number one in the world. I'm going to win the Masters. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. I just think he said he likes to, he's a great competitor, a multi-sport athlete, coming out of Dallas, won over 100 junior tournaments before he got to Texas, and in talking to his coach, John Fields, many times about it. He just really loves going out there and battling the game, battling the field, and really enjoys that part of it. The game itself, the fun in the game hasn't been taken out of it, which over time and over many sports, which you guys look at, sometimes the game gets the best of you and it stops becoming fun, becomes a job. It's not a job to Scottie. He really enjoys the playing of it.
I'm taking putter. You cannot say anybody's putter. The putter's out of the equation. Which guy and what club is the most important maybe over the next 4 days? Is there a guy in a club that you believe has to work, take the putters out of it, to help him win or put himself in a position to win?
Gosh. Everything else, no, he's got zero weaknesses outside of an average putter.
How about every player then? Like, is there a guy that he needs? This guy needs to not try to play the driver. It's not going to be good for him. Is there some club that you think some guy will have to hit well enough to be in it on Sunday?
If Rory drives it well, and if the conditions do get really wet and long, three out of Rory's four majors were washouts. Basically, they were long, wet golf courses, and where he felt like he could just rip the driver. So if Rory gets those conditions and tunes in with his driver, which has been one of the best clubs in his bag this year, he will factor.
What's the most drastic change, like a Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday? Can you even describe how much the golf course can change in just one day?
Yes. I mean, and it basically happens mostly where you see the scoring opportunities either increase in difficulty or get easier is the receptiveness of the greens. When they do get wet, even though these greens do have some air, which can pull a certain percentage of the moisture out, but with what's expected to come, I don't think they can work hard enough or fast enough to sort of make the greens firmer again. When you can hit a 3 or a 4 iron into a green and it holds at Augusta National, it's a huge advantage. So every single player in the field hits, 2 to 3 extra greens around, which gives them 2 to 3 extra birdie looks that they would have normally had. So, when the greens do get soft, that is the biggest difference maker as far as scoring on the PGA Tour.
Because every guy is different. Would most guys say they'd rather be 2 back on Sunday or 2 up? And are certain guys you go, oh, that guy, he'd be better off being 2 up, but that guy chasing it down, he might be better being 2 back. Is that a thing at a major?
Well, the Masters, I think there's only been one winner that was not in the final pairing on Sunday in like the last 15 to 20 years. So more so than being determining how far back you are, if you're not in the last group, you're probably not going to win.
Unless you're Tiger Woods, this couple of his last two, in fact, right? He was way outside the top 10.
Well,
that's
after round one. That's after round one. He was, so after round one, only two players have been outside of the tied for 11th going into the final three rounds and have gone on to win, and those were both Tiger Woods.
Yeah, in 05, he was like 33rd after the opening round, which seems to be impossible. But speaking and circling back of Tiger Woods and Fred Couples, you talked about recovery time earlier. Why is this course so good to guys like that, Couples and Tiger?
It's the institutional knowledge that you pick up over the years and years of playing it, and not so much where you have to hit it, but where you can't hit it. There are certain wind directions that, as The swirling wind conditions on a lot of tee shots, in particular the par threes, coming down through the different chambers and channels in between those huge pine trees, they make a difference. It makes a difference between carrying it up onto a ledge that where the hole is cut or coming up literally a yard short. And we see it. It's dramatic because there's wonderful coverage on television, is that the ball comes up short, it comes to a stop, and then just gradually rolls and rolls and rolls. And before you know it, you're either off the green or you got an impossible, 70-foot putt that you're trying to get up and down just to salvage a par when, you were only 3 feet away from that ball kicking up and having, 15-footer for birdie. And that's all because of the swirling wind and just not sort of knowing the trends or not trusting. That's what you'll see a lot of that on 12. These experienced players, Fred, Tiger, Phil, they know when to hit the ball off the 12th tee when they see either feel something in terms of wind direction or they see something. And the indicators that they like to use are the 11th hole, the flag, and the 12th. I mean, those two flags can be moving different directions. You just got to kind of know which one to trust at what time.
All right, let's finish up with a couple of things. Are you guys professional golfers like the rest of us? Do you say under your breath or in your head, miss it? Like, I'm not saying you're going to say Noonan to a guy on a golf course tournament. But
in your head, are you saying it,
are
though?
Are you like the rest of us, where you're thinking?
Yeah, I think there's a handful out there that were probably saying Noonan in the back of their mind.
You do?
Okay. Absolutely.
Right. You're only human.
Yeah, because, again, it is human nature. Right, it's human nature. I hope
Absolutely.
This guy missed it. All right, have you had everything on the Masters concession stand board? Have you had everything?
I have. And I'm not a pimento cheese. I know it's not a fan's favorite for me, but everything else I'm good with, and I'm really good with the prices of the concession.
$66 to buy everything on the board. Somebody did it. The math is $66 to buy one of everything on the board.
That's incredible, and it's one of the best sporting experiences in all of sports. So if you ever have a chance to get out there, do it.
Last one. Do you know, I hope I get it right, Gary Cowan, the story of Gary Cowan and why he sort of made the news this week. Do you know that name?
No, fill me in.
He's the guy that now Ben Crenshaw's verified. In 1972, he was the first guy to skip it across the water. Like, five other guys have laid claim to it. I did it. Trevino said I did it.
At the par three, which is happening today.
Ben Crenshaw says and verifies in 72, this guy dropped three balls because Crenshaw said, do it again, do it again, do it again. So it looks like Gary Cowan, who I think is 85 years old, is finally getting the due that he deserves. And it's verified by a guy that I don't think lies. And Ben Crenshaw, what do you think about Mr. Cowan now at 85, finally getting his flowers?
Well, I think that I'm glad the credit's going where the credit's due. And then I also think it's going to be a great Trivial Pursuit question someday.
Yeah. Gary Cowan. He's a Canadian golfer, by the way. I was fascinated. I watched 9 minutes about the man's life this morning after I heard this news.
Yeah, I hadn't thought twice about that, but I'm better for it now.
Yeah, you are.
How good are you?
I think you are, and even if you're not, you sound convincing when you say it. Nolan.
How good are you at that shot?
I was okay. I think in my two Masters I played, I probably tried it three or four times, and I got one on the green.
And is that about average, or is that you feel pretty good about just getting one up?
There's some guys that really have a talent. I know Fowler's really good at it, but it takes a – because usually what happens is you take too much of an angle and it goes right into the water, or you hit it too hard and it skips over the back of the green. So it's not an easy shot.
So Scotty Scheffler, barring anything unforeseen, is your pick to click?
Correct. And then right under him, I would put Sahith Theegala, Jordan Spieth, and Xander Schauffele.
All right. Good stuff as always. Noda Begay, we'll talk soon. Always appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Noda.
Got it. Noda Begay with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Wouldn't it be awesome if somebody did that during the actual tournament?
That's
skipped
not
it across
right.
the water.
Hey, somebody starts screaming, you can't do that.
I just did.
I'll bet you somebody has done that. Do you not think somebody's done that at a real golf tournament at some point where you just said, I have no angle. I can't get it up. I got a tree in front of me.
I'm sure, yes. The circumstances would dictate sometimes
What's he doing?
Desperate shots.
Cheating.
But I'm just telling you, like, just a normal shot, someone tries that during the Masters.
If somebody told you,
great.
If somebody told you that you have to get it across the water, I'll give you five times, but you got to skip it at least three times.
I got no shot.
Yeah.
Me contacting the ball, actually hitting it. If you bet me that, I'm not sure I'd win.
It is interesting.
You suck.
Yeah, jackass.
It's interesting that a professional golfer would say, let me tell you what we're all prone to do on that shot the first time. Try to do it too cute.
Speaking of cute, the very cute, the very attractive Kevin McAlpin's going to have the Braves Clubhouse Report coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll get a preview from him. Is there anything you want to dump onto the table before we do that, though, Domino?
I think there's one thing. I think we got one dump. Yeah. Oh, Sammy Sosa was back in Chicago.
All right, that is the dump. When we come back, and like we said, we'll find out what's coming up at 2 o'clock on the Braves Clubhouse Report with Kevin McAlpin, the matinee idol that he is. It's Cellini and Domino here in your home of the Braves. Game 3 of the Mets series tonight at 7:20. The Ford Leadoff Show at 6:05 here on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, and The Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Who does number two work for?
153, wrapping up a Wednesday. Cellini and Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. The Braves Clubhouse Report is up next. Before that, though, it is time for Domino to get a bunch of things, or at least one or two things off his chest.
Sammy Sosa was back in Chicago. Hasn't been there since 07. And it was all good. Listen, I'm a mature man. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. Then all of a sudden, this happened.
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids? This is, like I say, this is not a question that I expected from you.
That's not it. He did not know that was coming, did not know what to do.
That's a yes. Just say you took him. Everybody knows you took him. Just say it.
They have a problem, his relationship with the Cubs, in large part because the Cubs said he's never really fessed up to any of this stuff. Just fess up to it. It's been a long time. Nobody's taken anything from you. So just say
it's like Hulk Hogan saying, I'm not going to admit to taking steroids. Everybody knows. Everybody knows you took them. Just say it.
So he did say he's a mature man. I don't even know what that means, but I'm a mature man. Okay. Here's one more. This is Tiger Woods. Want to know why he's a little bit different than most? This is why.
When I'm getting ready for tournaments, I make sure that each and every day I have 1,000 contacts with a club. That doesn't mean hitting 1,000 balls on a range. That means possibly maybe hitting 100 balls on a range, 300 chip shots, 600 putts, okay? You break it up to however you want to break it up to. I'm having 1,000 contacts with the golf ball on my club face per day. That develops feel and sensation. That never goes away.
That sounds like 1,000 words a day when I write the rundown, the show sheet.
Uh-huh.
I'm the same way. Tiger and I have that in common.
Some people work with paints. Others work with clay. That sounds
1,000,
like,
Domino.
That sounds like hell to me. That sounds like hell to me. Again, it's his job, and he's still looking at it as a job 1,000 times. You're not going to keep score. You're not going to play against anybody.
That's what sets him apart. Like
I know.
You said. That's why he is Tiger Woods. He is Kevin McAlpin. He has the Braves Clubhouse Report up next. What's coming up on the show?
I'm just going to read the Augusta National Spectator Guide for the next 30 minutes. Sorry, I was just looking at the layout for the next couple of days. But no, we're going to talk
that time of the year.
It is that time of year. We're going to talk to Austin Riley. We'll also hear from Matt Olson. Had a chance to sit down with both those guys on the weekend here. Braves are off to a good start, 7-3, and both those guys right in the heart of the order. A big reason why. So we'll have some fun with Austin and Matt talking about the Braves' hot start to the season.
Very much looking forward to that later on tonight. Of course, game 3 of the series with the Mets at 7:20 here on The Fan. Jose Quintana and Alan Winans, the Ford Leadoff Show with K-Mac and Chris Domino comes your way at 6:05. I want to thank Noda Begay for joining us on the other side of the glass. Thank you to Matt Lear.
My pleasure, buddy.
Chris won't say it, but I'll thank you, Adam Gillespie. As always, job well done. In my eyes, anyway. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Cellini, Domino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.